though, we're going to start things off here in the 5 o'clock hour, joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Peter Abraham of the Boston Red Sox to talk a little Red Sox with us before the opening day next week. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing very good. And first of all, it looks like the Red Sox are not wedded to the idea of playing these high-priced players just to play them because of the contracts they received in the off seasons prior. And it seems like third base might be up for grabs for a Brock Holt and a Travis Shaw, along with left field as well.
Yeah, certainly Travis Shaw at third base. He seems to have the inside track to start there, and they're talking about playing Brock Holt out in left field and platooning him with Chris Young. So it would be a big stretch to put Ruznik Castillo on the bench along with Pablo Sandoval. But after last year and everything that happened, the Red Sox seem to be willing to put the guys out there who have earned the right to be out there and not just to be kind of beholden to what the contracts are.
Pete, do you think taking Brock Holt off of that super utility position where he's proven to be so valuable and sticking him in one static spot takes away some of his value?
You know, a little bit, yeah. And it also you also kind of run into the danger of if you play him too much, is that going to kind of decrease his effectiveness? Because he's been a guy who succeeded a lot in the first half of the season and not as much in the second half of the season, so you don't want to wear him out. I do think a lot of this, you know, is we're talking about opening day and who's going to be in the opening day lineup, and that's always a big story. But when you look at how it's going to play out over the year, they have a number of guys who can play left field, and I don't see them necessarily dedicating left field to one or two people. You know, Castillo's a guy who's at some point going to get a chance. They're talking about Travis Shaw at some point being supposed to be able to do that last year in the minors. You know, obviously they're not going to give up on Sandoval. They're going to at some point try to see if he can be the third baseman. So a lot of this is, well, what's going to happen on Monday in Cleveland, and you know how that plays out over the course of the year remains to be seen.
Well, speaking of Pablo Sandoval, there have been rumors about potential trades. I know there were some scouts from the Padres looking at Pablo Sandoval's recent outing. Is there any truth to any of these rumors that the Padres might be willing to trade James Shields for Pablo Sandoval?
Well, there's certainly truth that they were here watching him, and that's been the case for a couple of days. Now, you don't see a lot of prominent trades that are made at this time of the year. That's very unusual. Most teams want to take a look at who they have and put their rosters together for a reason, and they like to see their team play together before they start making big moves. So I'd be surprised if they were to make any sort of deal right now. Dave Dombrowski said this morning nothing was imminent. He did say that a team would call him about something, but nothing could get done. So it doesn't seem like there's going to be any kind of big change before the season starts. But certainly, you know, the Padres were a team that had a lot of interest in Sandoval before the Red Sox signed him. They still need a third baseman, and the Red Sox would be, I'm sure, quite happy to be able to make some kind of move with Sandoval if they could.
Pete, now that we know that Christian Vasquez isn't going to be ready for the start of the regular season, is this job essentially Blake Swihart's, or is it going to be a dead split between the young guy and the veteran Hannigan?
No, it's going to be Swihart. I think you're going to see Swihart catch the majority of the games. Hannigan is going to catch Joe Kelly, it sounds like, you know, at least Joe Kelly. And you'll see him maybe more than you would see a normal backup, not any kind of, you know, where it would be a split of the duties. And what's interesting with Vasquez is even though he's on the DL, it's not like he's unable to play. He's been playing right along in spring training. So he's going to stay in Florida for a few days and then join up with Pawtucket right around the start of their season. And if that's a disabled list rehab assignment, that can only last 20 days. So, you know, they could option him back to the minors at that point. But if he's ready, it's not inconceivable that we could see Vasquez by the end of the month.
We're talking with Peter Abraham here of the Boston Globe with a little Red Sox action as they get ready for their opening day next Monday. Now, David Ortiz's retirement tour has already begun. JetBlue, of course, honoring him yesterday. Is there a strong possibility that this retirement tour could hinder the Red Sox negatively throughout the season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, for the players, you know, you're talking about 5 minutes, probably what? It'll be, say, 15 times over the course of the season, something like that, at the various cities they go to. And that's going to be spaced out for weeks at a time. So I don't think that's going to be any kind of disruption to the players. The only guy that it could be a disruption to would be David, because he's going to have to change, you know, on those days, how he prepares for games and just to make sure that he has that time to, you know, whatever it is that the other team's going to want him to do to be out on the field. But it's, you know, I don't see any of those ceremonies being much more than five or six minutes maybe. So it's not going to be, I don't think, that big of a deal. The Red Sox have known it's coming going back to November. They saw it firsthand with Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter. This has become sort of a common thing now in sports, and I don't think it's going to be anything that, certainly for the other 24 players, is going to be any big deal at all.
No, it's no secret that John Farrell is probably on the shortest leash he's been on in his tenure as the Red Sox manager. What, and I know everything ends up boiling down to statistics and wins. What do you think a win total out of the gate for, let's say, their first 50 games? What does he have to put up to stay safe?
Yeah, I think 50 games is a great number to start with, because that's when you get a pretty good sense of it. You're into the, you know, probably late May at that point, and they'll have a real good idea of what kind of team they have. And I don't think you can say, well, if they're 25 and 25, he's okay, or if they're 30 and 20. It's going to have a lot to do with what the rest of the division is doing. Right. If the Red Sox are two games out of first, and it's not, you know, no team has run away with the division at that point, you know, certainly Farrell's going to still be the manager. But if they're six games out and they're in fourth place and they're only hovering around 500, then I think that's going to be a danger zone for Farrell, certainly, because this team is built to win now. They don't want to waste David Ortiz's final season. They don't, you know, they went out and signed David Price and Greg Kimbrel. You don't do things like that and not expect, you know, wait around for your team to be good. So I would say around Memorial Day, we're going to have a pretty good sense of where John Farrell stands.
Pete, at what point should we be worried about Rick Porcello and his struggles in spring training?
Right now would probably be a good point. He hasn't looked good at all in spring training. He's given up a ton of hits. He's given up a lot of extra base hits. Gave up three home runs the other day to guys who are probably not going to be regulars in Baltimore's lineup. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be concerned about. And he had a good finish to last season, but what we've seen in spring training is a lot of what we saw for the majority of last season when he wasn't very good. So, yeah, I think it's a big concern. And you look at their entire rotation behind David Price, and there's really nobody you can say, well, you know, I have complete faith in this guy to be a good, solid 33-start guy. I mean, theoretically, Clay Buchholz could do that, but he's never really been able to finish the season. And Porcello has done that in the past, but not in Boston. Joe Kelly's never been a regular starter for the course of the season. Eduardo Rodriguez looks like a guy with a ton of potential, but he's going to start the year on a DL. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of concerns about the rotation.
Now, Pete, we know you have a very long career still ahead of you, but if you were to have your retirement tour, what kind of gifts would you want? I know David Ortiz got gifted a golf cart yesterday, some road signs. What would be on the top of Pete Abraham's list?
Well, that's a good question. I guess if I was going to retire, I'd probably want some sort of condo in Fort Myers. That way I could retire down here. But I never even thought of something like that. I'd probably movie passes and the ability to travel to warmer climates, I guess.
That's not bad. And also, now, after the announcement today, Richard Deitch mentioned that no Luther Vandross or Jennifer Hudson. If you had to pick between Lil Wayne or Harry Connick Jr., who should sing One Shining Moment?
Oh, I mean, it's clearly Lil Wayne. That'd be terrific. That would really shake up the Final Four, no doubt.
I don't understand
why they just don't keep the original One Shining Moment. There's nothing wrong with it.
No,
I think going back, you know, with the original one, I thought was great.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. It's iconic. Why switch it up?
Yeah, and you know the tournament's over when your ears are done bleeding.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand why you need to change it, but who knows?
And finally, Pete, you are part of our Downtown Madness Sweet 16 right now. You're going against Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports. Carrabas, right now the little lead. Any words to garner some support in your effort to move on to the Elite Eight?
Oh, wow. I had no idea that I had advanced. That's exciting news. Let's see. No, if anybody votes for me, I certainly would appreciate it. And let's see. I can't bribe anybody for sure. That's against the rules, I assume, right?
I mean, bribing's actually encouraged.
Yeah.
Oh, encouraged. All right. Well, let's see. I don't know what I could bribe anybody with. Well, if you vote for me, I'd be happy to show you around the press box at Fenway Park. How's that?
There it is.
Yeah, and continue the great coverage in which we know from you from the Boston Globe, of course.
All right, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pete.
Take care.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe talking about the Red Sox with us and talking about Downtown Madness, too. And we'll give an update on that a little bit later on. And, of course, Pete Abraham joined us on the G&M Family Market phone line. And by way of Gagan's Pub and Craft Brewery, Bangor's Pub for more than 40 years, offering quality homemade pub food with an Irish twist and a rotating selection of American-style craft beers brewed on-site, open for lunch, dinner, and drink 7 days a week, open daily at 11 a.m. So good insight there. Rick Porcello is definitely something I'm concerned about.
That was funny, though. When should we be worried about Rick Porcello? How about
right now?
Now?
Yeah, right now, which I think is pretty useful.